Testing. Okay, good. Wonderful. And let's go ahead and read Galatians 6:1 again here this evening, and hopefully we can try to get some more ground covered here this evening. We were able to have a few small discussions last week, which I hope were helpful and maybe insightful there as time allowed. But Galatians chapter number 6 this evening. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." All right? And so last week as we got into our passages, let me pray, and we looked at other passages as well. And if you're not here, hopefully you can get the fill-ins, but I think we're going to try to finish these additional considerations up this evening. I think we'll maybe be able to work through them. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. Jesus, we thank you for your grace that is greater than all of our sin. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Lord. May we never forget about that. May we never lose sight, Lord, when we're weary, when we're burdened, when we're overwhelmed. Lord, let us just rejoice in knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been forgiven, we've been purchased, we've been adopted, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and your provision for forgiveness deals with our sins in the past, present, and future. Your grace truly is greater than all of our sin, and we thank you so much for that. We ask if you would be with us this evening, and we ask that you would be glorified. We thank you for your mercies, and we just bless your holy name. You're wonderful. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. Now help us. Help the families, Lord, represented here this evening, those with children. And Father, for those of us who would have opportunity just to work with children and influence them, Lord, for the glory of God, help us to just be considerate of these things that we find in the Scriptures to be able to help us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so last week, we looked at just a few things under this additional considerations, and we began by saying one of the things we looked at was examine your motives. We want to make sure that you examine your motives, and we looked at some things under that. We don't want to take personal vengeance. We don't want to humiliate the child. We don't want to try to convict the child of sin when you are angrier that the child has sinned against you than against God. All right? We certainly don't want to do that. Did you find any? Found some good. Wonderful. All right? We want to use biblical terminology or biblical concepts. I saw that very, very important. We're not going to help our children change using the world's concepts to label them with the world's concepts. We have to deal with what the Scriptures actually teach and use Bible terminology. And so you've got some examples there. Reject the words of man's wisdom. All right. And so we have that there. Biblical terminology is much more effective in helping children see their need to change. I'm just kind of going through these quickly here. We're going to get to the back side of this thing. Argue your case, making it clear to the child that the charge for sin is against God. The charge for sin is against God. You want to make that clear to the child. Now, there's great wisdom in that, because you want that child, you want convictions and you want reproofs to be a way of life. But when they're with you, they're not going to always be with you, but they're still going to have a life. And conviction and correction concerning that child needs to be something that's a part of his or her life once they leave the roof of our home. And so they need to understand, when I've sinned, I've sinned against God. And so there are some references there. We looked at David when he broke pretty much all of the commandments, when he took Bathsheba in adultery. And there was adultery, there was murder, there was lying, there was covetousness, not honoring the father and mother. Just a whole host of things right there that we look at in the Ten Commandments that he broke in just deciding that he wanted to sin against God there. Don't use statements such as, don't you realize how much you hurt me, or don't you realize how much you made me angry, the wording must focus on sin against God. Don't ever forget that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't ever forget that, all right? Let's see here. Ask, do you know what God thinks about or calls what you did? Ask them questions like that right there. Children must learn to compare themselves to Jesus Christ. Children must learn to compare themselves to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to help them do that by taking them to the Scriptures, ministering to them in the Spirit of God, showing them Christ, the Christ of the Scripture. You must do that. Avoid such statements as behave like your brother. All right? They'll hate you, and then they'll hate the brother that you're comparing them to. All right? Don't do that. All right? Respect your parents like Sally respects her parents. Don't tell them stuff like that. All right? You want Sally might, she may or may not be a Christ-like example in a sense, but listen, you want them to see, where am I lacking Christ-likeness, basically. So you want children to see that. We want that. Choose the right time when you can have their undivided attention. That's A. When you can have their undivided attention. All right? Now, we kind of got into rebuke last week, and abbreviated rebuke and some things like that. Sometimes you may have to break up a situation. Maybe they're fighting physically. You may have to break it up right away before you can fully deal with it. You have to break up the fight now, maybe fully deal with the matter later. That's kind of like an abbreviated type deal. And you may not be in an opportunity to give it the attention that it needs, but when you do give it attention, make sure you have their undivided attention. Don't try to talk to them while they're on the video game, or try to talk to them when they got their mind made up that they're going to be doing something else. Try to get some eye contact with them. Make sure they can hear you and understand what is going on. All right? Now, so choose the right words. That's E. Choose the right words. All right? So, James 1:19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right? We have to think about that. Now look at Proverbs 15:28. I think we're going to look at this twice here this evening, but Proverbs 15:28 says this, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Now listen to that right there. That means that the heart of the righteous take time before they give an answer. Listen, one of the areas that it's so easy to just give an answer is to our children without thinking about it. Right? The heart of the righteous studieth to give an answer, or study it to answer. But notice this, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. If we're not careful, we're spending our time pouring out evil things while under the idea of correcting our children, if we don't take the time to study. Because now understand this, our children, foolishness is bound in their heart. And you know, if we don't study the answer, we might answer a fool according to their folly. If we don't study to answer, we may be no better than them. You understand that? And we really want to help them from their foolishness. We really want to help them from their way of thinking. We can't be like them. And one of the clearest ways to prove that we're fools is if we just pour out stuff without thinking. And we have to think, how is this going to affect what I'm going to say? What is it? How is it going to help this child, or is it going to hurt this child? All right. Now, invest time, effort, and thought in selecting right words that communicate which scriptures have been violated. Take some time to think, and this is why I'm saying we gave the illustration about the son and the dad a couple of weeks ago, and how the son was upset at mom because she told him that his friends couldn't come over. And dad was talking with the son, and dad was giving him the difference between righteous anger and sinful anger. And dad told the son, sometimes we send you to your room so that we can make sure that our hearts are right. And so the son was asking, well, isn't it right to be upset when someone violates or when someone does something wrong? And dad was like, yes, it's right to be upset when someone does something wrong. But when you are more upset because they didn't do what you want to do, then that's sinful anger. That's not God's anger. And so dad was telling the son, this is why sometimes we send you to your room so that we can get our thoughts together. And listen, that is a good thing. Listen, let me just try to help us understand how this works. Now, it's a lifetime process getting a handle on the scriptures, reading through the scriptures, right? Now look at the wisdom of God in this. This book, we won't master this book in 10 lifetimes. Now think about this. The more we go through this book, probably the slower we ought to be in responding to things. Did you hear what I said? So what do you say? Now some things, just listen to me. Some things you're gonna develop, and we ought to develop some pre-planned responses for, like, if something happens, I already know what to do in this situation because I've thought about it. But probably sometimes we may have to step back even if we know what to do and maybe say, you know what, let me give this a little more thought. And you, as we go through the scriptures, this is one of the reasons why we ought to be reading the scriptures for one. And then notice that the receiving of the engrafted word and the relationship there right in the book of James, receiving the engrafted word, how it's right there in the context of being swift to hear, slow to speak. Did you hear that? Did you understand that? So just think about that. Now, when it comes to your children, when it comes to our children, you got to think, you know what? They are not people who we just pour our frustrations out on. Right? All right. Now, you think about this. You think about maybe dealing with an adult that you respect. Maybe your boss, maybe your spouse, or whatever the case may be, or maybe someone in your family, right? You think about that. How would you, I mean, well, some people just, they just go off the handle. We know that. Some folks are just, they're like, they're a firecracker. They're going to go off. They're tired of it. Their top is popped, in whatever the case may be. But you think about this even. You think about even maybe when you're offended, or maybe when something that someone has done is maybe bothering you. How do you even approach it? You try to be careful about it, right? You try to be careful about it, right? No. Think about it. Now we're raising children. We're raising children, and I know we want quick fixes because they got on our nerves. That's what we want. We want a quick fix, right? But we better listen. Here's where I find myself late when they. Man, they've done something, and maybe they've done it a couple of times. I think, man, this is how I did handle this, or maybe I would have handled this at some kind of time. And you've got to watch your spirit. You've got to watch your mood. You've got to watch, you know, when are you most tempted to say this like this? You know, did you just come in from work, or did you have a frustrated? You've got to be careful with all of that stuff right there, but you've got to realize these are some precious children. And we really want to help these children. And so we got to, you said, man, all these messages sound alike. Communication is very important. Very, very important. So choosing the right words, all right? And choosing the right questions that you're going to ask the child, all right? To support, notice, you're bringing them under God's indictment. You want to give careful attention to that right there, all right? Now, the manner in which reproof will be administered, we kind of touched on some of those things. Specific examples of violations should be given. Do not speak to your children in generalities if they've done some specific wrong. Alright? Boy, stop doing that! I mean, don't say that, but they're like, stop doing what? They don't know if you're talking now, or maybe something, whatever the case may be. Or when you sit down, I want to talk to you about your behavior. Okay? They may be thinking right there. You may have something that they've done that you had to get around to dealing with them on. Well, go ahead and give the specific of what it is that you're dealing with them about. Listen, because that is training them to say, you know what? Because you're going to help train them out of some specific behavior patterns that may not be pleasing to God by citing that behavior. Yes, sir. Oh, really? I thought I gave these last week. Did I not give these last week?
No.
Oh, y'all, well, why didn't y'all say anything? I told you, I'm not responsible for what's on this thing. Okay, E, we're all at E, right? Okay, well, don't get mad. I mean, I'm just simply saying, y'all got to practice this stuff here that's on here, even with me, all right? E, choose right words. Ask God. Choose the right words. God, help me to effectively communicate to my child their sin against you. Wait a minute. Listen, we got to really get a handle on the fact that we can ask God for anything within the context of His will. You think He wants to help us raise our children? You think He wants to help us effectively communicate with our children? So this is not some trivial thing. And this is not something that you... Listen, if we think we got a handle on it, we need to humble our hearts. So just go and ask God. God, help me to talk to my kids. Help me. Listen, God, I've had a long day. My spirit's not right. Let me, whatever the case may be, help me to just talk to my kids. Help me to do that. Everybody with me? All right. Invest time. So y'all got that now? Invest time, effort, and thought in selecting right words that communicate with scriptures, which scriptures have been violated. Additional passages which may be cited to support indictment. And on that appendix that you have in your folders there, it gives you a scripture and then it gives you some other scriptures as well. But as you read the Bible and you run references on specific word searches in the Bible, you will have an abundance of scripture references, not only to how the word is used or how and different angles on the subject in which you're dealing with. All right there. In the scriptures themselves. All right in the scriptures. And that's why it's a lifetime to just get through that. It really is. Take you more than a lifetime. All right? Now, the questions that will be asked the child. That's 4. 5 is the manner in which reproof will be administered. All right? And I say that to say this. Every tone is not going to necessarily be the same tone. We just have to make sure we're led by the Spirit. Listen to how Jesus dealt with people. Look at how He dealt with Martha. Look at how He dealt with the Pharisees. Look at how He dealt with people. It wasn't always the same tone. Look at how He dealt with the woman who, when He said, "Ye without sin, cast the first stones." Look at how He dealt with that woman. Look at how He dealt with the woman at the well. You see? All right. Keep those things in mind. But we just want to make sure we're led by the Spirit. That's what we want to make sure, that we're led by the Spirit. All right? And then I set 6 specific examples of the violation. Mom, what did I do? This is the 3rd day in a row that you left your toys out in the corner after I've told you to clean your room. Whatever it is that they've done, don't deal with them in generalities. If you can, you have to be able to articulate to them, this is what you've done. All right? I think I shared this with y'all a little bit ago, and these were adults giving testimonies later concerning maybe how some of their parents brought them up, and some of the adults said this. Some of the adults, I forget what I was reading, some of them said this, man, I grew up and I was disciplined, but my parents never told me what I did. These adults saying this, looking back on their childhood life, my parents never told me what I did. You know what that means? That means the parents were angry at something, didn't communicate it with the child, and decided to spank the child, and probably wondered why they kept having to spank the child. You know? And so we don't want to be like that. You don't want your children to think, well, when mom or dad gets upset, they just spank me, but I don't really know if I've done anything wrong. And they very well may have done wrong, but if you haven't communicated it to them, they're going to be resentful towards you when it's all said and done. All right? So let's go ahead and flip that over. I'm glad we got past that first page. Man, that's something. Now, F, is that where we all are? Good. Wonderful. Ask questions that appeal to your child's conscience. Your child's conscience. You have to ask questions that appeal to your child's conscience. All right? Now, some things about the conscience we have to understand. The conscience is the part of the soul that judges right and wrong. All right? Every person has one. Now, all right? Some of them are have been exercised more than others, but all have a conscience. Okay? Now, the conscience sends discomforting signals to awaken us of our guilt before God. This is the function of the conscience. So we want to take aim at the conscience of the child. All right? Because of the fall, our children have come into the world with a misprogrammed conscience. Okay? And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Now you see the word child there in 2 Timothy 3:15. Studying the word out, I found this is very amazing. A child is someone who is being nourished. A babe. An infant. In other words, when Paul wrote to Timothy, listen, he said, you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because from a child, your mother and your grandma taught you the Scriptures, which made you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But what happened in that training, that mama and that grandma took aim at Timothy's conscience. Took aim at Timothy's conscience so that when Timothy got of age, he could be saved. And not only before he got saved, he could learn this is right and this is wrong. But listen, had he came out and just been allowed to go his own way, his conscience would be messed up. All right? Forget all the stuff that the doctors tell you. You don't want to tell the child that they're wrong in this. You might offend their conscience or whatever the case may be. No, their conscience is already messed up. The only thing you can do is help it. The only thing you can do is help it. All right? So now, at an infant stage is when the process of reprogramming their conscience must start. This is why there is... We must not think that we've got some time off or we've got some grace period. You know, people kind of give different ages when you should start spanking children or when you should start training them. Well, I think the Bible makes it very clear that it's soon. That it's soon. And also, by the age of maybe 2 years old, because they're set on their own way, some people say, well, he's two or she's two. I'll start maybe spanking them then or whatever. Listen, you may have something on your hand. Listen, somebody said it like this. They don't get to the terrible twos if you take care of your business before they turn two.
Amen.
Terrible. In other words, most folks in society just accept terrible twos as a stage that everybody goes through. I don't think we had any terrible twos in our house. I don't think we had any terrible twos. Now, he's already getting pops from mama. I hadn't got my turn yet, but no. I remember even as a little boy, Micah sometimes he wanted something or didn't want something or didn't like something, and you'll have this happen as well, and he'll just kick himself back in your lap if he didn't want something. How'd you train him out of that? As soon as he tried to kick himself back, I just stiffen him up. No. I mean, he's not even able to walk. So guess what? If something don't go his way, guess what he stopped doing? Even before he turned one, he stopped kicking himself back. I'm saying you can train them. You train them that this is not acceptable. You doing what you want to do, that's not acceptable. But we want to aim at their conscience. That's what you want to do when it comes to questions and things like that. Now, their conscience must be fine-tuned, all right? Their conscience must be fine-tuned throughout your children's entire lives. So, listen, don't say, they're a teenager and they're in their room and I don't really know what's wrong with that boy. I don't really know what's wrong with that girl. They're in their own world. And they're not the sweet little Johnny they used to be. Well, what happened? What happened a lot of times is that we disengage from parenting. You see? But from that infant until they get out of the house and you're preparing them to stand on their own two feet spiritually, amen, you should be taking aim at the conscience. All right? Now, initially, you must provide the data. That's D. You must provide the data that the Holy Spirit can use. You must provide the data that the Holy Spirit can use to bring them to maturity. You must do that. Look at what it says here, a familiar portion of Scripture in Hebrews 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says this right here. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And that's a constant. Listen, you know how it is for your children if you let them just go off, do anything, eat anything. Man, they would kill themselves. You know why? Because you haven't taught them to discern good and evil. You haven't taken aim at the conscience. You know, man, kid pick up something. You know, we got all these labels on the different products we use to clean our house. Keep out of reach your children. Why? Because they don't have any discernment. And so, you know what? Let's just spray this on something. Yep. Our kids start cleaning up the kitchen. Listen, don't spray that stuff around the food. Why are we trying to help them understand? That's just, no, we want to eat that food. You got to get that stuff out of the way before you spray it and all these labels, harmful if swallowed. You know why? Because children, they don't, hey, I just something. I've seen people drink stuff in a container like this as well. And it, you know, so I guess I'll turn it up as well. And so we have that, but spiritually we must teach them the same way. This is right. This is wrong. This is acceptable. This is not acceptable. And you're taking aim at the conscience, dealing with their conscience, all right? Now, when convicting with the Scriptures, take aim at the conscience of the child. We're continuing with that. Now, seek to be disturbed. Disturbed. You must absolutely understand that our children, listen, we see this. We see this so much today. How many of you know people, we live in a society that's so corrupt, people are just absolutely comfortable in their sin. With no desire to change whatsoever. Not that they would, but listen, it's, you heard that, like just spiritual couch potatoes. No kind of life or anything like that. And you must not allow your child to just, you know what? My sin's not a big deal. You must not allow. No. Disobedience to God is a very big deal. Disobedience to God, breaking God's law, that is a very big deal. And they need to be disturbed. They need to be disturbed from their complacency and indifference to sin. They don't need to think that sin is not a big deal. They don't need to think that sin is something that, you know what, we can laugh at. They don't need to think that at all right? And listen, we have to stop some of our kids sometime. One of them may get in trouble for something, or there may be something going on, and one of them may laugh at it, and hey, wait a minute, that's not a laughing matter. God doesn't think that's funny. You've got to deal with them, because why? Foolishness is bound in their heart. Their conscience is misprogrammed, and it you have to be constantly on it with your children to help them. I know this whole parenting thing, it's like a full-time job. Yeah, that's like what this thing is chalking up to be, right? Like being their parents. That's exactly right. Now, awaken him or her to the fact that what they have done or have not done is displeasing to God. Displeasing to God. Right? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Your actions do not please the Lord. Your actions are displeasing to God. And this is why you need to know the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures will bring the conviction. All right? Now, give them knowledge, D, once again, that they need to confess and forsake their sin and seek God's forgiveness. Give them knowledge once again that they need to. What do you mean give them knowledge once again? Well, how many times have you dealt with your children on something? Now listen, you would think that maybe after a couple of times they got it, right? But no, maybe he's upstairs thinking that a couple of times. He doesn't think like that, right? When you read through the Bible, he's dealing with some of the same matters over and over and over again, right? And that's kind of a lot of it with our children. That's how it is, you know. Until they can. Okay, I think they're making some progress in this area, but progress in one area is not progress in some other area. So we got to go over it again and again and again, right? Now, give them knowledge once again that they need. Listen, once again that they need. For example. They may commit some sin over here and they need to get it right and confess. They may commit a sin over here and may not know they need to get it right and confess. And you got to work with them again and again and again until they see, you know what? My sin is against God. We're not talking about robots or anything like that, but they just, you know what? Okay, that particular thing was wrong, but they don't know that this thing is wrong. And you got to work with them. You got to keep working with them. So, so give them knowledge once again that they need to confess and forsake their sin and seek God's forgiveness. That's what it means to appeal to their conscience. Notice, seek God's forgiveness. Seek God's forgiveness. I've sinned against God. I need to be forgiven again by God. I need to be forgiven by God. All right? 6. One of the functions of the conscience is to make judgments. A. Growing Christians continuously judge and escalate. It should have been evaluating, I'm thinking. Evaluate their behavior. They ask questions like, how am I doing in the area of my life or this area or that area? Am I succeeding or failing? What does the Lord want me to work on? These are healthy questions that any growing Christian ought to be asking. Listen, we're not healthy if we look at ourselves and say things are fine and going about our business. You're not healthy. And as I've said many times, we can't give our children what we ourselves do not have. And if we're not allowing Jesus to disciple us, we're not going to be able to disciple them. Did I communicate to you that you parenting your children, that's discipleship. We parenting is discipleship. Why? We want them to be like Christ. We want them to follow the disciplines of Christ. So parenting is discipleship. You see? God wants to disciple us. So we ask these questions. Now, B, when the answer to these questions and others like it confirm that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, remember that's the goal, even in our lives, amen? Our conscience excuses us, but accuses and convicts us for our lack of Christ-likeness. And that's what our conscience does. Now, because of sin, listen to this, we cannot accurately judge ourselves. Because of sin. It is hard to accurately judge self because of sin. Isn't it amazing, you know, when it comes to your sin and when it comes to me judging my sin, you know what? My sin is really not all that bad. I mean, I know it's wrong, but it's really not all that bad coming from me. But if I sit down and explain honestly my situation to somebody else and they just give me truth-oriented counsel with no feelings attached, whoa. You see what I'm saying? Whoa. And this is like this. You can take a situation where folks are married The husband's got one way he sees things. The wife's got one way that she sees things. And then they go into counseling just for some objective counseling. Oh. Whoa. You see what I'm saying? And it's like that. Why? Because we cannot accurately judge it. We don't really want to. First of all, we don't really want to. We don't really want to tell ourselves how bad we are. And so we always, I ain't really all that bad. So we don't say, man, I sinned. Man, my bad, bro. We ain't gonna say it was sin. We just gonna, oh man, I, what was it? Man, I think, what, take your lick? Something like that. I hear that. None of this stuff is Bible. I'm just simply saying, we got all kind of stuff that we say. Oh man, we dropped the ball. Drop the ball on that one right there. And then, no, it's really God actually calls it something else besides dropping a ball. But we don't like what's associated when we fail to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of sin, we cannot accurately judge ourselves. The same way with your children. They can't accurately judge themselves. All right. Now, we oftentimes need assistance in the evaluation process. We oftentimes need assistance in the evaluation process. This is where questioning is helpful. Now, questioning is one of the most effective ways of awakening the conscience of others. Asking questions. Certain questions put pressure on the conscience of the convicted, forcing them to examine themselves more closely than they might have to on their own. I saw, I told you about the guy that I thought looked like some guy that I witnessed to in Walmart maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And we saw that guy last night, and he was busy but in passing, and he recognized me, and he stopped me. And he says, I'm still thinking about the conversation that we had. And I asked him some questions during that conversation, and he remembered me. But he was on the run last night. But listen, questions make people stop and think. They make people stop and think. And just get real and get honest. Questioning. Jesus asked many questions. I've given you some examples here as we get down to the bottom. But listen, convicting questions throughout Scripture. Now, this is just a little sampling of it. As you read the Bible, just look for the questions that are in the Bible. There's a ton of them there. All right? But D, you see D there? There's questions throughout the Scripture. But notice, with these questions, we're not going to go through them now. We're not going to go through them. You go through these questions and not only look up the question, but a lot of times, for example, James asked the questions, from whence comes fightings and wars among you? But then not only did he ask the question, he didn't leave it for them to answer. He already knew what the answer was. And a lot of times what you'll find with some of these questions, even when Jesus dealt with people, he asked the question, but he didn't leave room for some interpretation. He already gave the answer to it. And I say that to say this, we ought to observe our children to such a degree to where we kind of have a good idea of maybe how they think. Remember, Proverbs tells us that how a child is known by the ways of a child. All right, so we ought to be able to help our children. Listen, this is you did this because of this right here, and we ought to be able to judge that to a degree. Not saying we know everything, but listen, we ought to know our children to say, you know what, this is the pattern. And we ought to study and think about those things when it comes to our children. All right? But now, let's get down here. Number 6, it says, search the Scriptures for more convicting questions. Okay? Now, look at this. Number 7, do not abuse why questions by asking them in a mocking or punishing way or a way that allows them to make excuses. In other words, here's something that a parent might do. So, why haven't you cleaned your room? Oh, I know why you haven't cleaned your room. It's because you're desiring to honor the Lord. Don't do that. That doesn't help. Everybody understand that? That kind of mockery, that kind of what's that kind of sarcasm. Don't use sarcasm when you're trying to help your children to bring them under the conviction of God. You understand that? I know why you left those toys over there. It's because you love your mom and you just want to do everything that she says, even though I told you to put them up 3 days ago. That's not going to help them. You with it? That's not going to help them. You might confuse them. So do I love mom by leaving the toys out? Or... Mom, I love you so much. I just went and stacked the toys. You told me I just stacked and I didn't got all the toys out the room. You don't want to do that right there. No, no, no. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay.
Amen.
Now to keep us out of the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Right? Don't ask them punishing questions. What's a punishing? We're talking about abusive language. Why are you so disobedient? Don't ask them no questions. It's a why question, but you've abused it. See, go look at the questions that Jesus asked. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm just giving you some examples of probably, I won't name some, maybe, I won't say any names to protect all the guilty that are in here. That kind of business, right? And then, listen, don't ask them why questions that allows them to make excuses. Hey, so now tell me why you did that again. Oh, okay, I understand. And it's an excuse. And you know why you do that? Because you want to pacify your own conscience while at the same time not wanting to deal with the issue. So we ask a question to kind of fuzz it over a little bit. And when we know something else really should have been done. And so we just do that. Don't ask them that kind of questions that allow them to make excuses, because you'll just get used to them making excuses and fuzzing it over and making excuses and fuzzing it over. And then now, and guess what you've done? You've just communicated to them, my sin is no big deal. My sin is no big deal. So I'll just ask them a question. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, me and mom talk about it. Yeah, she did ask me about it. Like what? Like she asked you about it, he asked you about it, and that was it? You see what I'm saying? That's not going to help your kids. That's not going to help. Don't ask them questions that allow them to make excuses for their actions. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, there are going to be some very uncomfortable times. As a matter of fact, convicting is very uncomfortable at times, all right? Now, all right. Jesus used why questions for the most part to convict people of their sins. Just keep that note in mind. And number 9, see the appendix for help with questions that bring conviction. You should have some questions back there as well. Remember to include the scriptures when asking questions. Involve the scriptures when asking questions. Do that. All right, now, G, comfort as you convict. Comfort as you convict. Comfort. All right? Children will constantly need conviction, but parents who continuously love and affirm their children will also be able to comfort during time of conviction. In other words, here's something that's very helpful, even when your child maybe is in trouble. All right. And I think this probably, I think for any normal, let me just see, I'm afraid. For anybody that's not messed up in their thinking, I think naturally we think great things about our children. And now listen to me. When we look at them, they have a lot of great things about them. Now I say that to say this. That ought to maybe take some of the edge off of our approach to them even when they're in trouble. All right? Think about these wonderful creatures that God has given you and just how unique they are, how much you love them, right? And how, you know, they need to be built up. They don't always need to hear that they're wrong. You understand what I'm saying? And here, in other words, if they only hear, or if the only time that you're sitting down with them to talk to them is because of some corrective thing, they're not going to be balanced. They're not going to be balanced. You got what I'm saying? I got to go see Dad. I already know what this is about. you don't, your children, that is not healthy. Or I got, I go talk to mom again. That's not healthy at all. All right? In other words, while they may approach with caution when they're on in trouble, I love it. When children, you know, even if the children have done something and they know they're in trouble, and my wife has said, you know, when your dad gets home, he's going to deal with this or whatever the case may be, you know, they'll still run to the door. Hi, Dad, or whatever the case may be. You have to have that balance. You have to have that balance. Children should not ever have the attitude, I don't want Dad or Mom to come home. They shouldn't have that attitude. All right? Now, as you convict, as I put here, number two, think of the virtues of the child in which you are convicting. Think about, you know what, the qualities of this child and so on and so forth. Now, as I mentioned, this will help the child have a balanced view of his strengths and weaknesses. So comfort as you convict. Comfort as you convict. Now, H, convict with a gentle spirit. Now, everybody back at Galatians, go ahead, and we're going to just try to wrap up here. Galatians. Convict with a gentle spirit. Now, I said some things in the beginning. I'm just going to kind of wrap up with maybe some of these same things or same thoughts as well. But the Bible says here in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Notice this, the qualification of restoration. One of the qualifications that you have to meet if you're going to restore someone is that you be spiritual. Now listen, don't skip that over just because it's your kid. Did you hear that? Don't skip that over just because it's your kid. It's one of the qualifications. Now, another qualification is to consider your own self. You see it there? Is that not right there? It says, considering thyself, lest thou also... Notice, you have to be spiritual, you have to be meek, and you have to consider your own self. Now, he gives us three qualifications, right? Now, spiritual, what is that? Somebody being led by the Spirit, but meekness goes with being Spirit-led. All right? Now, I want to point out some specific things concerning this. All right? So, convict with a gentle spirit. Here's what it doesn't look like. Here's what a gentle spirit does not look like. Do not scold your children. What is scolding? It is expressing strong displeasure and uncontrollable tempered speech. Didn't I tell you? See, that's scolding. And what are you trying? What are you trying to accomplish? You really want to correct them. You really want to. Ooh, you just really want them to get with the program. But you know what's going on? They're not even focused on the wrong that they've done. They're focused on your anger. Everybody with me? Listen. And now you're more mad because they went back and did again what you told you. Why? Because you didn't even really communicate what should have been communicated. And now you're purple in the face or whatever color you turn when you're upset. Now you got to think about this. And all they're getting from you, well, whatever I'm doing, they don't even know what they're doing, but whatever it is I'm doing, it's sure making mom or dad mad. And they're just, yeah. And so they'll go. They'll go. They know, all right. So she's going to do her little spiel. He's going to do his little spiel. They're going to yell and get upset. And then I'm going to go back and do what it is that they yelled about because I didn't get the message. I couldn't see past all the anger. And that's scolding. Listen, when that vein starts to pop out, you ain't talking right. All right? You know what I'm talking about. That vein, that thing starts, and then you start hyperventilating and like somebody's choking you or something. No, that's anger. All right? So listen. That's a bad spirit. Listen. Ye which are spiritual. Being spiritual is not characterized by bad spirit. And listen, I'm telling you, the good that you thought that you were going to accomplish, they don't even know what they've been dealt with on. They just know I'm scared of daddy now. I'm scared of mom. I better not do that again. I don't know what it is I did, but I better not do it again. Everybody with me? I'm just saying. Listen, here's what we need to work on. This is what we need to work on. This is all of us. Few words. Few words to your children. Isn't that right anyway? Just a few words. A few simple things, right? With a calm spirit. With a calm spirit. Remember we talk about studying to answer? Hey, if you study to answer, it is going to be difficult. If you study to answer your child, it's going to be difficult to go back and be mad at them. You get it? If you study to, listen, now we got to, I know how it is. I know how it is. We've covered a whole lot of material. As a matter of fact, this is the second time we went through some biblical parenting type class. And it's good. It's good. But listen, the longer it takes for us to get a hold of it and learn the lessons, then listen, the tests are always coming. Right? And so now we're frustrated and we're overwhelmed because we're ignorant, and we're ignorant because we haven't went through the scriptures. It's not that the scriptures are not available. Just listen to how this works. And so I'm going to take the easy way out. Yell. Get frustrated. Scold. That's easy for us because that's what we've always done. That's the easy way out. And then we want them to be like Jesus. We want them to be like Jesus. Are you with me? Now listen, that's some serious stuff right there. We want them to be like Jesus, but we're not even handling them with a gentle spirit. Because listen, we want them to straighten up, and we hadn't even given the time to the Bible to let God help us, for God to help us help them. But then we want to produce the product that we just get so excited about. But we don't even want to go through the process ourselves. And that's not right. And we ought to take the time to study to answer. We ought to take the time. Let God do something in your heart. Let Him do something in my heart. And then go back and give it to your kids. And that's how it ought to work. All right? So now, give a few words with a calm spirit so that the child focuses on what you are saying and not your anger. God forbid that the child actually does something wrong and sins against God and they leave your presence. Well, I wonder how long mom's going to be mad at me. The wrath of man has not worked the righteousness of God. All right? Another thing here. Notice it says, considering thyself. Right, one of the things that, when I gave you that illustration a couple of weeks ago about the son and the dad, one of the things that the dad effectively did with his son was communicate to him his own weaknesses. Now listen, you can write this down. I don't know who put this here. I have to move. But write this down as well. Convict with a gentle spirit. Listen, convict with humility. Notice, you see this here? Considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Isn't it amazing? And listen, how you can go into a situation full intent on helping somebody, and then the worst be brought out in you. I mean, you just thought you're going to help little Johnny. Now little Johnny's sitting on the other side of the desk talking to you. Now calm down, Mom. It's not that serious. Now, little Johnny on the other side. Y'all switch roles. Now calm down. Now, Mom, the Bible says be angry and sin not. Now, I think you missed the sin not part, all right? So on and so forth. And now, just going on. But here's what happens. It says this right here. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, let me just say this here, and we're done. So we said a while ago, before you go into a situation, think about the virtues and quality of your children, right? Do you hear me? You think about that. But listen, if you're going to help somebody, listen, Think about, hey, we're done. Just listen up here. Think about, you're going to help somebody? Think about how weak you are. That's what it means to consider thyself. That the person that you're going to help, that child, you're made of the same stuff that they're made of. You just have more practice at it. And we hate it in them because it's really a part of us. So, consider thyself. I love it. I love it. I love it there with the high priest. When he made, I go back to that passage in Hebrews that the high priest was taken from among men with the same infirmities as those men. So he could minister. And that high priest did not have a holier than thou attitude. And I'm afraid that we take a holier than thou attitude when it comes to our kids. And that's, listen, you convincing your kids, listen, that you can't do no wrong. Well, kids see through hypocrisy so fast. They put two and two together so fast it ain't funny. So we're not perfect. That's not even the issue. We have to be real. But listen, when we correct our children, they don't ever need to leave with this idea. And mom and dad, they're so perfect and they're always right. They don't need to leave with that right there. They need to leave understanding, you know what? This is sin against God. And I've broken God's law. And I need to get my sin right with God. That's what they need to leave with. And by the way, you'll be a lot less stressed out if you're actually allowing God to handle the situation. And by the way, let's just face it. That anger and that rude speech, it takes energy to express those things as well. What are you saying? Why don't we take some of that energy and just go to the Bible? Amen? And let's just, and all I'm saying, let's just back up. Okay, that offense got committed. It doesn't have to take you an hour to deal with, but maybe it might. Maybe you may need an hour. Maybe you may need an hour. Maybe something bothers you and you don't even know quite what the Bible calls it. You just know that it bothers you. And if you respond to it ignorantly, you're going to mess something up. So maybe you need to back up. Maybe even for an hour. All right? And then what? Pull that book out. And go through it. And see, okay, so what does the Bible call this? What is this right here? And you get to identify. And go and read the scriptures. And then think, how am I going to deal with this? And go sit down. And you get their attention. And you immediately begin pointing them to God and His law and how they've broken. You can do that with a meek spirit, gentle, and then when the transaction has taken place, they're not scared of you, right? And when you handle it, y'all can pray together. You can admonish them in the Lord, just like what God tells us to do. You can go on about your business. But listen, I'll tell you when I'm most susceptible to maybe not saying what I ought to say. After a long day. Or when something didn't go my way. Alright? Or whatever case may be. But I think we're all kind of the same. And I'm not trying to make us the same, but all I'm saying is this right here. If you know that at a certain time, when it comes to interacting with my family or interacting with people, but since we're dealing with the family, that you know what, it seems like maybe I'm more grouchy at this time. And well, find out what makes you grouchy and then be on guard. Be on guard at those times, you see. So you know what? Maybe it's time to just pray. Maybe it's time to just observe and keep my mouth closed. Maybe it's every day at 6 o'clock. I don't know, but you know how like you can check online if you're going to go to a restaurant and it tells you what the peak hours are. And then tells you when it's not busy. Listen, when's your peak grouch times? You with me? Don't get in line on your peak grouch times. All right? Or don't say anything on your peak grouch times. Just calm down. Think. And I think if you approach it, really, I don't think I know No matter what is going on, if you can just approach your family with the spirit of thanksgiving that they are your family, given to you by God, and no matter what, I'm thankful to be with my family. No, they're not perfect. And I know this is a situation I don't even want to deal with. It's not even comfortable. But this family, God gave me this family. That will help you a ton. Y'all are not enemies. This is my family. My kids are not someone that I can just say what I want to say and abuse. God didn't give them to me for that. These are little people who are made in the image of God. Amen? And God has entrusted me to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God has entrusted me to do that. Amen? And so we've got to think about that right there. Now turn to Proverbs 28:23, and I said, we're going to be done. Proverbs 28:23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now listen up. It has already probably been communicated that... Let me just say this. If you are comfortable in this sense of dealing with your children, you might want to back up and check yourself. What I mean... If you're comfortable with talking to your child any kind of way, or talking to your child how you are, you know what? We often make this statement. That's just the way I am. How many made this statement before? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm sure we've all made the statement. And you know what that is? That's just a sinful excuse for not being what God wants you to be. Amen. That's just the way I am. That's a sinful excuse for not being conformed to the image of Jesus. And so listen, if I'm comfortable with dealing with my children and I'm not willing to be conformed to the image of Christ, I need to really get a heart check. All right? But understand that in the convicting and in the rebuke process, it's not going to be comfortable. All right? Nor do we approach parenting. I want to say this. We don't approach parenting from the standpoint that physically I'm bigger than you. Are you with me? We don't approach it from that. We don't approach it from that aspect. Now that comes in handy, especially if they don't want to be still when it's time to get a spanking. But that's not, we're not trying to be overbearing on our children because of, you know, our size of this. Everybody understand that? But there are going to be times where probably this is just not comforting. We need to discuss this right here. It's probably not something that you're going to have a whole lot of joy in right up front. But I say that to say this. Do not avoid it. Because you're looking for something. You've got something in mind. And we ought to have in mind what God says. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now let me just kind of put it like this. We're going to either do what God says, or we're going to find all kind of reasons and ways to not do what He says. And that's the idea of flattering with the tongue. You could tell somebody what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. Right? And we can even do that with our children. But it ain't going to be good. We can tell them hard things now, and they'll be blessed, and you'll find favor. Right. You're not going to find probably favor in the eyes of your selfish children right now, especially in a situation where they may need a spanking. But when they avoid some of the headaches and heartaches and bumps and bruises of life, or they maybe even go through some hard knocks, and then God straightens them out through some hard things, well, they'll look back and say, you know what? Dad told me right, whether I listened or not, or they did listen, and thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Mom, for telling me some hard things, even though it wasn't comfortable. Are you with me? And we better do that. So, Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word and you give us wisdom on how to raise our children. God, help us. Help us to take our time. Help us to take our time with our children. Please, Father, they're precious. You've blessed us with them. And let us just thank you for them. And Lord, they're not perfect. Lord, neither are we, not even close. Would you have mercy upon us, Father, when we fail? Father, let us be gentle in bringing conviction. Let us be spiritual. Let us be meek and let us be submitted to your control. And let us consider ourselves that we are frail and that we are sinners. And let us identify with our children in the fact that we're sinners. Let us have compassion. Please, God, help us. Let us bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of you, Lord. We thank you for your mercies and your kindnesses. We thank you for loving us in spite of us. Please forgive us for any transgressions against you, Father, and help us to do better. We thank you for your grace that is greater than all of our sin, even when we fail in parenting, even when we say things or think things that we ought not, or even take actions and do things we ought not. We thank you that your grace is greater than all our sin, and we come to you, Lord, even now, asking for your forgiveness is where we've transgressed against you. And how should we even expect to help our children if we're not willing to be helped by you? So would you please have mercy upon us, and we thank you. You bless the remainder of this evening and the remainder of this week. You bless our relationships with our children, our spouses, and you just be glorified, Father. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, some additional considerations when convicting.